Okay, once again, we'd like to turn to the book of Mark. Looking at the miracle of Christ stilling the storm. Begin reading with verse 35 of chapter 4. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. We see that this miracle is a picture of our voyage through this life to the other side. We see that they did safely reach the other side, and so it is with you and I. We saw last week some things about the storm, which again is a picture of the storms that we must encounter. We see that it was unexpected, and so it is in our lives. We see that the storm was quite severe. In fact, their lives were in jeopardy. And we see also that things are not always as they appear in the storm. Many times, again, appearances test our faith. And we see that Jesus was asleep on a pillow in the back part of the ship. And it appeared, because he did not wake up during the storm, because he continued to sleep, it appeared to the apostles that he did not care. Carest thou not that we perish? And again, they thought for sure that they were going to perish. They thought for sure that they were going to lose their lives. And again, nothing could have been further from the truth. Christ, even when he was asleep, knew the storm. He knew what they were going through. He knew what he was going to do. But it appeared to them, and they became very frantic. In other words, the appearance simply added to their fear and added to the severity of the storm in their mind. And many times, appearances can actually be worse than the storm. And the things that we imagine can be worse than the actual storm. But today we want to look at the advantages of this particular storm. And there are advantages. We tend to think that storms in our life are a bad thing, but the Bible really teaches just the opposite. The storms are not a bad thing. The storms are a good thing. In fact, we profit more from the storms, usually, than we do the calm times. We see that, first of all, the purpose of this storm was not to destroy them. If that was the purpose of the storm, they would have been destroyed. But that was not the purpose of the storm. The purpose of the storm was not to destroy them. That's true today. No matter what storm you and I, talking about God's people, might go through, the purpose of the storm is not to destroy us. That's not the purpose. If that were the purpose, we would be destroyed. The purpose of the storm is not even to harm us. The apostles here really suffered no harm. They suffered no injury. The purpose of the storm is not to cause harm. The purpose of the storm was to help them. That was the purpose, was to give them some help. And that's the purpose of our storms. The purpose of a storm is for God to help us. The purpose of the storm was to change them, to change them. And again, the purpose of the storms in our lives are to change us. That's not a bad thing, because we do need changing. We see also the purpose of the storm was to challenge them, to challenge their faith. And certainly this storm did that. And I believe that's still the purpose of the storm, is to challenge us, to challenge our faith. The purpose of the storm was to strengthen them, to cause them to know Christ in a way that they did not know him before. And the purpose of the storm, again, is to strengthen us. It's to strengthen our convictions. It is to strengthen our faith. It is to strengthen our resolve. And if you go through a storm and you're not strengthened, guess what? You're going to have to go through another one. You're going to have to go through another one. And it's going to be worse, because you didn't learn anything from the past storm. So the purpose of the storm is to strengthen us, to better us. Purpose of the storm is to teach us some things about the storm, to teach us some things about ourselves. And that is when we learn the most about ourselves, is in the storm. And to teach us about the Lord. And that is when we learn the most about the Lord as well, is in the storm. So this is a truth that God's people must never, ever lose sight of. That the storms and the struggles are not sent to destroy. They are sent to develop us. They are sent to make us better. And contrary to common belief, the storms, the struggles, are not always a bad thing. The Lord uses the storms to direct. The Lord uses the storms to cause us to inspect ourselves. The Lord uses the storms to correct us. So how can they be bad? If God uses these things to direct us and to correct us, how can it be bad? He uses the storms to connect us to him and to perfect us. So let's look at this particular storm, see some advantages that the apostles experienced, some benefits that they experienced in this storm, and of course, the application is to ourselves. It was in the storm that they were brought to see how little control that they had. When things are going smooth, we relax, and we relax too much. And we get the idea that we somehow are in control. And there are times when the Lord has to send a storm into our life to cause us to realize, I'm not in control. We're not in control of life. We're not in control of death. We're not in control, and on we could go. But after spending some time in the storm, These apostles learned they couldn't control the wind. They couldn't control the waves. Their boat filled with water. And no matter how much they bailed the water out, it continued to fill up. They weren't in control. And they realized that. Now, I don't know how long they had to be in the storm before they came to the realization, we're not in control. But when they came to that realization, that is when they went to the Lord and said, carest thou not that we perish? They did not go to the Lord until it became a reality. There's nothing we can do. And that's how we are. As long as we think we can do something, we do it, and we do not go to the Lord. It's the moment that you realize, I cannot control this. This is out of my control. No matter what I do, the storm continues on. I've got to go to the Lord. And it was in this storm. Now, when the storm first started, I'm sure that they didn't immediately go to the Lord. The winds were blowing. The waves were beating into the ship. The ship was now full. We read in verse 37. And it was after the ship was full, and they realized that we are in danger of sinking, that they went to the Lord in the hinder part of the ship. Now, if you think about these apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, at least four of them were experienced fishermen, and no doubt were familiar with the Sea of Galilee, and no doubt had experienced many storms on this same sea in the past. But now arises a situation. They can't handle it. No matter what they do, no matter how seasoned they were, no matter how confident they were unable to handle this particular storm. And that's a good thing. Again, we've said it many times. People say, well, the worst thing is I felt so helpless. That's not the worst thing. That's the best thing. Because that's the only time that you will go to the Lord. When you realize, I can't fix this. There's nothing I can do. So it was in this storm that they were brought to see that a situation swooped down upon them unexpectedly that was beyond their control. Now the truth is, everything is beyond our control. That's always the truth. But there are few times in our life where we really, truly realize all things are out of my control. Times of death, people, even lost people, come to the realization that this is out of my control. Times of serious illness, and many, many other times. But the storms remind us, and we need this reminder, that we cannot control our destiny. We cannot even control our life. You can make all the plans you want to, and you can, in your mind, have it all figured out. But the Lord can send the storm in a second, and all your plans will mean nothing. Nothing at all. Because we're not in control. We're not in control. And I believe every child of God needs to experience, not just once, but many times, our plans being overturned, our plans being upset, and our lives being interfered with, just to serve as a reminder, we're not in control. Secondly, it was in the storm that the weakness of their faith was manifested. The storm manifested that their faith was not what it should be. We see that they became very fearful. They became very anxious, not just because of the wind and the waves and the water filling the boat, but because of, again, it appeared that Christ didn't care. All these things added to their anxiety and their fear. They became greatly distressed, and their hearts were filled with commotion. And all of this was due to a lack of faith. It was all due to a weakness in their faith. Now, people get offended today if you tell them to trust in the Lord. They take offense at that. And don't you dare question someone's faith when they're going through a trial. That's not going to work. But that's what the Lord did. The Lord immediately addressed their faith, or their lack of faith. In the book of Matthew, notice Matthew's account, Matthew 8, verse 26. And he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" He asked a question. He really answered the question for them. The reason they were fearful is, "O ye of little faith." He was also asking, "O ye of little faith, why is it that your faith is so small?" You see, in the storm, it is manifested where our faith is. The stature of our faith is manifested. But we also, in the storm, are called upon to examine why. It's not enough just to know my faith is small. That's not enough. I need to know why. How did I get to this place? Why is it that my faith is small? Again, Jesus gets to the root of the problem. And again, people don't want to do that either. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Why are you so fearful? And then he answers the question by the next question. But the next question calls upon them to examine, not just to realize that their faith was small, but to examine why. How is it? That is, how did it get to this point? How is it that you have no faith? And here he's not just telling them that their faith was weak here. He said no faith. No faith. Now notice in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" Now that question says that they had faith, your faith, but they lost it, or it was misplaced. Where is your faith? You know where their faith was? Their faith was the same place ours is many times, in their own ability. Where is your faith? Their faith was misplaced. Where is your faith? And so we see it was in the storm that it was manifested that their faith was weak. But it's more than that. It was in the storm that they were called upon to examine why. Why is my faith weak? How did I get to this point where I am not trusting in the Lord? And I guarantee you, if you begin to examine that, you will see a lifestyle that led to a lack or a weakness
of faith. So it's in the storm that our stature of faith is manifested. And this was this added to their discomfort. Don't you believe that when Jesus said, "Where is your faith? Why is it that you have no faith?" That caused them some distress as well. But the storm is a time not just of revelation, but it is a time of examination, a time of asking why. People ask, "Oh, why me? Why do I have to go through this storm?" What you need to ask is, why is my faith so small? That's what you need to ask. And the Lord brought them to this point. Thirdly, it was in the storm that they experienced a calm. Notice in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew 8, verse 26. After he addressed the problem of their faith, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, there's something in that verse that is revealed about the graciousness and the mercy of the Lord. When Jesus asked, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Do you think that at that moment the apostles' faith grew and became like it should? I don't. They were still unbelieving. So people who say, "Well, nothing's going to get better until you have faith," that's not so. That's not so, because God's more merciful than that. The truth is, if the only time you had peace is when you had faith, you wouldn't have it very much. But he said, then he arose. After he addressed the problem, he didn't necessarily wait for them to get straightened out. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And I believe as you read on in the account, you'll see because of what Jesus did, that is when their faith increased. That's when the stature of their faith became more. So Jesus rebuked the wind and the seas. He said, and Mark says in Mark 4, verse 39, that he said, "Peace, be still." And Matthew and Mark both record that there was a great calm. There was a great calm. Now, when they headed out that evening, everything was calm, but not like now. They had to go through the storm, and in the storm it is when they experienced a great calm. And Luke says in Luke 8 verse 24, "And they ceased," that is the wind and the waves, "they ceased, and there was a great calm." The storm was great. The calm was greater than the storm. But he not only calmed the winds and the waves, he did something even better than that. He calmed their hearts. He calmed their minds. And that's even more important than calming the winds and the waves. Sometimes the Lord doesn't calm the winds and the waves, but he calms our hearts and our minds even in the midst of the winds and the waves. And it was also in the storm that they had a fresh discovery of Jesus Christ. It was in the storm that Christ manifested that he was the master of the wind. It was in the storm that they learned that. And they stood in awe of Christ. Notice in Matthew 8, verse 27, but the men marveled. Now, notice they went from, carest thou not that we perish? They went from anguish and distress and anxiety to marvel. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey his voice? So you see, it was in the storm that they had a fresh discovery of Jesus Christ. It was in the storm that they learned the importance of the presence of the Lord. They learned the importance of the presence of the Lord in that storm. It was in the storm that they had a fresh discovery of the power of the Lord. It was in the storm that they learned more about the person of Jesus Christ. It was in the storm that they learned that he was the one who can. He's the one who can calm the storm. It was in the storm they learned more fully about his love, about his care, about his grace, about his mercy. It was in the storm that Jesus Christ became more meaningful to them. All this being said, was the storm a bad thing? Not at all. Not at all. The storm was a good thing. It wasn't sent to destroy them. So the storms will come, and Christ can still calm the storm with a word, or he can choose to calm your hearts instead of the storm, or he can do both. But that's the Lord's business. Really, the thing that we probably ought to pray for is not so much that he would calm the storm, but that he would calm our hearts. That he would calm our hearts. God's people are headed for the other side. And there's going to be some rough waters. There's going to be some winds. There's going to be some waves. There's going to be times when the boat is full and it looks like it's going to sink. There's going to be those times. And in those times, they're not meant to destroy us. They're meant to help us. The truth is, we need to take advantage of the storms. There's much to be learned in the storms, and we need to take full advantage of the storm. And again, it will be manifest our stature of faith. What we are will be manifest in the storm. But it's not just the realization of that. There has to also be the examination. How did they get here? Not how they get to the storm, but how did my faith get in such shape? So the storm is a time to get right. So we ought to thank God for the storms of life. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.